Well, Roger, we can hope and pray that what happened to Ezekiel doesn't happen to you. In the verse just before our text picks up, verse 13, Ezekiel writes, "And it came to pass while I was preaching that Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, died." Now, while I say that tongue-in-cheek, the truth is, Roger, that after vicarage, after your education and formation is complete, God willing, when you are placed into the preaching office, that is exactly what you will do. You will kill. Because when the law of God is preached, that's what it does. And that's what Ezekiel was sent to do, to kill, to lay waste. Because he did not go out with a dead, lifeless word that does not accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. No, he went out equipped and armed with the living, active Word of God that always does what it says. And he was lifted by the Spirit to the east gate of Jerusalem to preach against the smugness of the false counselors and leaders of Israel, who thought that since they somehow escaped and avoided the Babylonian exile and were safely walled within the city, that they were special, and that they had the favor of God, and were immune and impervious to the flames and wrath of God. While all those losers like Ezekiel are stuck out in Babylon, and they should just give up on their so-called Yahweh, they said, "Desert the Lord, go far away from him, for to us this land is given as a possession." That was the counsel offered by the false counselors, who, as our text says, go after detestable things and abominations. These are the Israelites whose wicked deeds will be brought upon their heads. The ones who thought that the pagan gods and the false deities were a lot nicer, more tolerant, more agreeable than the God of Israel, the God of their fathers. And it actually, in their minds, worked out pretty well for them. As they bellied up to the pluralistic smorgasbord of the world and worshipped idols and rejected Yahweh, while they did that, they got to keep Jerusalem. They got to keep the land. They didn't have to go into exile. They were outright idolaters, tyrants, blatant sinners, and still they got to stay safely walled in the city, while Ezekiel and the rest, who didn't yoke themselves to the gods of the other nations, they got swept away, cast into exile, scattered. The psalmist prays, "I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind." Isn't that the way it seems with the world? That the prince of this world is always ruining the day. You all know the facts on how Islam is becoming more and more far-reaching throughout the globe. You all know how radical secularism, militant atheism, and the paltry, generic, Christless, crossless Christianity is what is most prevalent in American churches today. But this should not surprise you, and not for one moment should you think that you are somehow immune or impervious to this. Lest we become like the smug, content, false counselors walled safely inside Jerusalem, thinking that because everything seems okay, or we do everything right, that we forget what the real problem is, what really needs to be killed. And that is your heart of stone. Whether you are walled safely inside Kramer Chapel or you're exiled to the cornfields of Iowa, you are not immune or impervious to the lies of the devil, to the world, and your own sinful heart. And yes, Ezekiel's harsh words were spoken first directly to those false counselors in Jerusalem. But as we heard at the end of our text, he also told all the exiles all the things that the Lord had shown him. because everyone needed to hear this law, including Ezekiel. In fact, when the wicked Pelatiah dropped dead, Ezekiel fell down on his face in verse 13, cried out with a loud voice and said, "Ah, Lord God, will you make a full end of the remnant of Israel?" Ezekiel was scared stiff, because if God does this to Pelatiah, what's he going to do with me and the rest of the exiles? Will he bring us all completely to an end? Ezekiel shows that everyone is under the law, that no one is safe, that no one can escape the anger of God against sin. And that includes all of us here today. Preachers, professors, vicars-to-be, aspiring pastors, laity, everyone. We are under God's judgment, and we might feel safe at times, walled in, or we might feel exiled, scattered, and lost. But either way, we're just like Pelatiah. Dead, killed, crushed by the law of God. Either way, our hearts are hardened to God. You have a heart of stone. That is what you were conceived and born with, a heart that has no life on its own, that pumps not a thing because it's dead. And so you are dead, stony, obstinate sinners, rebel sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, and when we hear this truth, we think, how can we escape God's wrath? Ah, Lord God, will you make a full end of us? When Jesus, the Son of God, Israel reduced to one man, was just outside the walls of Jerusalem, he too was exiled, cast outside, and left for dead. While the religious elite who put him to death were safely walled in Jerusalem, while the devil seemed to rue the day, there Jesus hangs. Left totally exposed, naked and dejected for all the world to see. And all the wicked deeds and abominations of the false counselors, the idolaters and sinners, they were all brought upon his sacred head. Your sins and mine too. Our dead, stony hearts, our stubbornness and false belief, our false sense of security and being walled in safely, or our discontentment with being exiled or scattered, our idolatry and smugness was all wrought upon the Son of God. Where on the cross, the full remnant of Israel, Jesus, was brought to a full end as he breathed his last and gave up his spirit. But all of this he does for you, so that 3 days later he would rise from the dead, never to die again, to put all your enemies under his feet. And now he has ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God and sends his Holy Spirit, who speaks this word to you today. Thus says the Lord God, though I have removed you far off from the nations, though I have scattered you among the countries, yet I have been a sanctuary to you. Thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you one heart. A new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, that you may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. This, dear friends, is what God has done for you in holy baptism. Though you were born with a dead and lifeless heart, you have been given new birth by water and the Spirit. Though you were cast out, lost, exiled from God's grace because of your sin, he has gathered you to himself in water and word and called you by name. And he's taken that heart of stone that smug, rebellious, falsely secure, stubborn heart of stone, and he's given you a new heart, the heart of Jesus, the heart of the Son of God that always beats to the will of his Father, the heart that Christ died to win for you. And it's all yours, because the perfect Son of God, who walked flawlessly in those statutes of God, who kept the law and the rules and always obeyed them, did it for you on your behalf, and now gives it to you as gift, his perfect life and death, which means you are just, you are right, for Jesus' sake. Your sins, your rebellion, your stubbornness are no longer counted against you, for he is your sanctuary. Whether you're safely walled in here in Cramer Chapel or out exiled in the world, he, by his Spirit, gathers and assembles, enlightens, and sanctifies his whole church on earth. This is the word of the gospel, and it's yours. And it's the word and promise of Jesus that makes alive. The law kills and crushes, but the gospel makes alive and raises to new life in Christ. And we are all under that law, and we all cry out and confess, Lord God, will you make a full end of us? But your God hears that cry. He hears that confession. And just as he did not chide or rebuke Ezekiel for his lament, so he does not rebuke you. But instead, he gives you his promise, which is why he sends the preacher, which is why he places pastors into his office, into which many of you aspire. Because his people are cast out. They are exiled. They are crying out. They are terrified. They are assaulted and harassed by the devil, by the world and their own sinful flesh. All day long they are killed like sheep being led to the slaughter. And so Jesus sends the preacher, armed with the mighty, efficacious word that kills and makes alive, to deliver the one new heart and spirit of God, to sustain and nourish that one new heart through the preaching of the gospel, through baptism and the body and the blood. And the word that he gives to the preacher is just that. It's the word that God gives. And so, Roger, you don't need to say anything except what the Lord has given for you to say. Vicarage can be terrifying. The pastoral office can be terrifying. But your confidence comes from the same place that Ezekiel's came from. These simple words, thus says the Lord God. He will put his words into your mouth. He will carry you and lift you by his Spirit. He will be with you wherever you go, for he has given you a new heart. And you, all of you, are his people, and he is your God. So as you prepare to go out on Vicarage, Roger, as the old saying goes, knock them dead. But all the more, raise them up in Christ and make them alive by his word and promise. In the name of Jesus.